is.
We'll figure it out when we get there.
Good afternoon. I can't read the time.
It is.
1:26.
Seeing double. Back on the record at 1:26. For the record, all members of the board who were here prior to break are still here. The next case we're going to call, we're going out of order because East Hartford needs to leave as soon as possible. So that will be case number 6-22-043.
Name? 043?
No, 043 was withdrawn, right?
043
was withdrawn. Yeah, that was withdrawn.
No, that's 043.
Good
afternoon.
043. Yeah, that was the one that was withdrawn?
No,
that was.
No, that was the last one. That was number
that
seven.
Yes, yeah, seven.
Which is now Parrot. Okay. Let's see. Ah, okay. Right,
good
my
morning.
Mistake.
Hey.
My mistake.
Good afternoon.
Just did the same thing.
Can you identify yourself for the record again, please, sir?
Deputy Chief Donald Olson, East Hartford Police Department. Last name is Olson.
And Council, can you identify yourself for the record?
Ralph Sherman, representing the appellant. Thank you.
Okay. Deputy Chief, would you like to make a opening statement?
Sure. This is a just basically case of suitability, really just based off of one incident and some concerns about the incident.
Attorney Sherman, would you like to make an opening statement?
I don't think it's necessary, thank you.
Okay, Deputy Chief, you may proceed.
So, the appellant filed an application with the East Hartford Police Department for a temporary permit, and it looks like that happened in April of 2021, and in May, I did an investigation on the appellant, as we normally do, normal course of business, and I did find that we had one incident that happened in August of 2019, and I'd like to call Officer Cortez up to have him testify to that case.
Okay. Good afternoon, sir. Can you spell your last name for the record, please?
Cortez, C-O-R-T-E-S.
And East Hartford, please?
Yep. Okay.
All right, you may proceed.
All right. So I think we already covered your name. What's your current rank?
Investigator.
Investigator, okay. And how long have you been with the police department?
8 years.
8 years, okay. And were you working on August 29th, 2019?
Yes.
Okay. And did you respond to a call to the appellant's address?
Yes.
And can you just basically give me a brief synopsis of what you recollect was the reasoning for that call?
I was on patrol. I was dispatched by Chuck Welfare. Family called. We're very concerned about the appellant and his conditions, for his medical conditions. And there's also intoxication.
Okay. Do you happen to remember who you spoke with, by chance?
I believe it was the stepfather. Was it?
Okay. And so you've gone to another number of training courses over your time with the police department.
Yes.
And so I think I can probably consider you an experienced and trained police officer. And based on that training experience, do you believe the appellant was intoxicated that day?
Yeah.
What kind of observations did you make that would lead you to believe that?
Look, I can recall, according to my report as well, he had extreme swelling in the legs, purple and red. He also had some coloration of yellow in the eyes. I also, when I walked in, you can smell the odor of alcohol beverages as well.
Okay. And so, as a result of responding to the address, did you apply for an emergency committal examination for the appellant?
Yes.
Okay, and that was based off of what?
The intoxication, the abuse, and the medical conditions.
All right, great. I
Okay. Attorney Sherman?
Thank you. Officer Cortez, there was no violence involved, is there?
No.
Suicidal?
No.
Nothing like that, okay. So, no, nothing you could see that indicated intent to harm himself or other people?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Just trying to rule things out. Thank you.
Does the board have any questions of the witness? Chief?
Just want to know what happened. I mean, you said you saw him there with some medical conditions and he was intoxicated. Tell us how you got the call, you got dispatched, how you walked in, you knocked on the door, where you found him, what condition was he in, what he said, what you said. Things like that, so we can, you know, kind of describe the scene.
From what I can remember, I got there, I met up with his stepfather and him. He was in the living room, I believe. I can clearly see his legs. He was wearing shorts, if I remember that day. He was wearing shorts, so you can see his legs were very swollen. Eyes were very yellow.
Now, legs swollen, is that an alcohol issue to you?
No, that had to do with the severe medical conditions that he was neglecting.
Okay, but the eyes,
right.
Could that be alcohol related?
Yes. Okay. There were also empty bottles of vodka surrounding the place. And I had a brief conversation with the appellate as well. So he suffered from PTSD from previous incidents that happened with his deceased father. And it was kind of agreed upon that he needed to go to the hospital. The 17A-503 was completed because of the intoxication and the medical conditions neglect. And it was clearly to know that he was in no condition to be left alone and make those decisions at that time.
Was he able to walk out to the ambulance or did he have to be carried?
I cannot recall.
Was he cooperative?
He was cooperative.
You said you saw vodka bottles?
I believe it was.
Like little ones? I mean, what does that mean?
My report states 3 1-liter vodka bottles.
And was he on a sofa, bed, chair? Where was he when you came in? Or was he standing?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions by the board? Seeing none, any further witnesses, Deputy Chief?
I have no other witnesses.
Okay. Attorney Sherman.
Thank you. First, before I call the appellant to testify, I want to make sure the board has the hospital record, which I believe we sent in.
Hartford Healthcare.
Right, that's it.
Can I insert a question real quick?
Yeah. I apologize. And you have that too, right?
I do. The only question I had was, when you mean witnesses, can I speak to the appellant? Is that considered one of my witnesses?
Well, if you want to call him as a witness, he would be your witness, yes.
You could also cross-examine.
I just like a question.
Usually, you would cross-examine after I ask him questions.
Fair enough.
Perfectly normal.
Hey, you can do either. You can call him as a witness.
Okay.
But if you want to wait till he asks him, then...
So I can excuse Officer Cortez?
You may.
So the board has that, I'm sorry, the Hartford Healthcare
document? We have page 59 pages of records.
Right, that sounds right. And the board has two letters from Rick Hinault, a therapist.
One is one letter.
One or two?
Just one place, sure.
We have one letter dated September 13th.
Is there a second?
You don't have a second, January 14th?
January 4th, that's the one I looked at. 1/14/2023.
Right, we had that updated because September was kind of getting old.
Yeah.
I have September 13th.
Yeah, that's what I have.
It's at the back.
No, I have the other one.
It's on the very back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha, thank you.
So we have January 14th, 2023,
yep. Very good.
Whatever other date I just said.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. So I'd like to call the appellant, please. Would you tell the board, please, how old are you?
41.
And do you work?
Yes.
What do you do for work?
I'm a real estate agent and just about a year ago got my real estate broker's license.
So that means you've got your own license, not just the agency where you were working had a license? What does that mean?
Now I'm a broker associate, so I'm a broker underneath my broker, which is my stepdad.
Okay.
And he's the CEO broker of the company.
Okay, very good. So that's a full-time position, right?
Yes.
On real estate. Okay, very good. And you live alone?
Kind of. I live, for human, yes. I live alone, but I have two small dogs I just recently got.
Okay.
And you live in East Hartford, sir, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, very good. You heard the officer's testimony about the incident in August 2019, right? It sounds like you had a problem with alcohol. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell the board, please, at that time, a little bit about your drinking habits. How often did you drink? What did you drink? When? Where?
It was at home. Didn't leave the house, but my drink of choice was vodka. I noticed it started getting out of hand, and I didn't want to admit it to myself, but it was right around the end of 2014, 2015, where I started getting pain in my hip. And it started getting worse and worse, so I started drinking to numb the pain. And eventually, after I lost some weight, I actually had a hip replacement, so that's all set now. But once I had the hip replacement, I was kind of like in a routine where I was just so used to drinking for the pain that I just kept doing it and started getting a little worse and worse. But actually, as of the incident on August 29th, I have only had a drink once, which was February of last year, February 14th, actually, on Valentine's Day. I went out, did some property inspections for some of my listings, came back, and on my way back home, I was just like, oh, you know, maybe I'll just try a few shots or something. Got a little pint, came home. Oh, by the way, like I said, I got two dogs, so I was cooking for them. Responsibility. So then I took a few shots or a couple swigs, and then I was just like, really? I said, I don't want to go back there. And then I looked down at my dogs, and I was just like, they need me sober. So I just took the rest of the pint and just poured it down the sink.
So that was almost a year ago?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you, you mentioned a problem with your hip because of your weight. Have you lost weight since the time of this incident? Are you down from what you were?
Down and then a little bit back up. I was 413 pounds at the time. Then I got down to 250. Most of it was because of the pandemic, so I was trying to keep myself busy around the house. I'm an ex-carpenter, so projects. Recently, kind of slow, so kind of gained some weight back, but I'm still down almost 100 pounds from where I was a couple years ago.
So it sounds like you changed your consumption of alcohol other than the February 14th last year. You stopped drinking, is that correct?
Yes.
When did that occur that you stopped drinking? Was it the August 2019?
Well, basically the next day, because I was hungover that morning. That's when I went to the hospital.
Okay. So you stopped drinking because you made up your mind to stop drinking? How did that come about?
Well, you know, it's family concerns, as the officer said. You know, my mom's very high strung and she was worried about it. I was getting tired of it. I mean, that morning when the incident happened, I don't feel like I was drunk. I mean, I was hungover. I was really hungover. But, you know, my parents overreacted, called the police, ambulance came out, and the next day, I had a discussion with my parents, and I actually ended up moving in with them. I mean, I still had my place, but I stayed with them. And that was supposed to be like my, you know, my motivation to get me sober, you know, because so, I wouldn't be able to, wouldn't be able to drink around them. So I did that for a couple months, and then at the end of, or the beginning of January of the next year, so 2020, I moved back to my place. I actually went to seek help at addiction medicine in Rocky Hill, talked to a psychiatrist there for a while. I actually did a year's worth of Vivitrol shots. I don't know if you guys are familiar.
What does that mean?
Vivitrol shots is where they give you an injection in your hind end, and it's supposed to deter you from drinking, and it's supposed to stop the receptors in your brain. If you do drink, then it doesn't give you any effect. So I just wanted that reiteration, like, you know, in the back of my mind, but got through that, then yeah, now my motivation is, like I said, being sober for my dogs. And my sister had a baby girl about a year and a half ago, June 1st of 2020, or 21. So that's my motivation, because I spoil her, and this is my only niece, and, you know, I don't want her seeing me all messed up and hungover and, you know, smelling alcohol in my breath. I mean, that's no way for a little kid to grow up.
Was alcohol having any other bad effects as far as your health? Just, were there any other consequences? I mean, excuse me, your sleep or anything like that? If no?
No, I mean, it was actually the opposite once I stopped, because I would be drinking enough where I would just go upstairs and just pass out, so it wasn't really a problem. Then when I stopped, it was, because I was so used to needing the alcohol to go to sleep.
But you're sleeping okay now?
Yeah.
Now, are you currently seeing some sort of therapist?
Yes.
Is it the Rick Hinault who wrote these letters?
I've been seeing him since, actually since that incident too. I reached out and I found him, because he's actually in recovery 42 years. So.
How did you find him?
Honestly, I don't remember. I think I'm online or something like that. There's a couple people, because I have seen other counselors in the past, but he's the one that's been helping me working, because like I just said, he had an issue. He was also, he's also in recovery 42 years now.
So there's a better connection?
Yeah, exactly. Other people, they were trained, but they didn't.
How often do you see him?
Right now, twice a week. That started about maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago. But before that, I've been seeing him once a week. Or I was seeing him once a week.
And he writes here in his January letter that your treatment plan includes maintaining his sobriety and engaging with people and activities that create a healthy work-life balance and sharing your handyman skills by working on projects. Does that all sound accurate to you? And I take it you discussed with him that you would like to get your permit.
Yes.
Since he says in his letter that he sees no reason to withhold your permit. Okay. And I think that's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Deputy Chief, would you like to ask questions?
I would, actually.
You may go ahead.
I just want to start off by commending the appellant. I know it's very difficult to take those steps. You know, I have friends, family, know people that have had alcohol difficulties, addictions, and it's really difficult. You know, and again, I'll just kind of restate that this denial was based off of, you know, really one or it was a couple of other small incidents prior to this, but just the concern of your family for you, you know. So we're just really worried about those types of things. Your family usually knows most about what's going on, so those are the things that kind of raise a little bit of a red flag for me, just to make sure that we're making the right decision here. The only question I really had was, you said that you went from once a week with your therapist to twice a week recently?
Yeah.
Is there a reason for that, or?
Just, when I first started with him in 2019, I was doing it twice a week. Then I went down to once a week, then we went down to once every other week. But now, just, you know, a little bit more stress, the market's a little rough, it's, you know, a little bit harder to find buyers and sellers. So I just wanted to talk to him some more, so he was like comfortable. So now every Tuesday and Thursday I meet with him.
Okay. So it was kind of almost like a voluntary mutual type thing? Or
yeah, because I was spitballing with him, and like we ran out of time because it's only a 1 hour session. He's like, right, if you need more time, he's like, you know, we can do another day, we can do it twice a week. So that's what we decided to do.
And how are you getting along with your family now at this point? You don't mind.
Good. Good. I mean, obviously, families, sometimes you have your bad days, but for the most part, you know, it's been good, you know, supportive. You know, I'm trying to lose weight again because I gained some weight. We actually have a family trip planned for Florida. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be all, hopefully, we don't pull my hair out, but we're going to be stuck in the same place for a week. So
right,
it's going to be, you know, my parents, my sister, her husband, my niece, me, so, yep. And I'm trying to take my dog, so it's going to be a packed house.
Right. The only other thing I was thinking about was, you said you moved in with your parents?
No, temporarily.
Temporarily.
Okay. Yeah, from that incident until the beginning of the next year, so 2020, I stayed with them. I was still going back to my place in East Hartford, you know, to do things around the house and stuff like that, but for the most part, because my tendency was to drink at night. So I asked them, and we kind of mutually decided it was kind of a burden on them too, but I stayed with them for those couple of months just to, you know, keep my head straight.
Okay, so since you filed for the permit though, you've been at your residence?
Oh yeah.
Okay. That's all.
Yeah, like I said, it was only for September, October, November, December, and then January 1st, like,
sure.
Does the board have questions of the appellant? Attorney Sinnetti?
Yes, okay. It says in the file that at one point you were drinking 1.5 liters of vodka every day.
No.
No?
No, as anywhere, not every day, but for the most days of the week, I was drinking anywhere between 1/2 and 3/4.
Okay. I mean, my wife likes vodka too, but that's a lot.
I hate to say this, but I'm Polish. So vodka, you know, runs
okay.
in.
That's true. I know. Firearms familiarity. This is for a pistol permit. What's your familiarity with firearms?
A little bit. I mean, I have a couple Pelican and BB guns that I've been shooting like when I was a kid. And, you know, go in the backyard, do some planking. Obviously, I took the firearms class. Pretty much the extent of it, I was telling Mr. Sherman here, when I was in construction, I did commercial construction. So I used to have what they call a Hilti.
Power-activated tools. Yeah.
So, yeah, I had that, and it shoots a .22, and you have to be very safe with that. And, like, I would always pull the clip out when I was done to make sure it doesn't accidentally go off. And but as far as firearms, like actual firearms, I don't have a lot of experience. That's why I would like to go to the range. I have a couple buddies of mine that have their permits. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be, like, a nice thing to go out and just, you know, blow off some steam or whatever.
Right. And one last question. So other than the incident last February 14th. Any other use of any intoxicating substance?
No.
None?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Chief?
I just want to ask Deputy Chief, after having heard this, have you changed your opinion at all? Or I'm assuming it's a lot of information you didn't have.
Yeah, it is a lot of information I didn't have. You know, there's always that concern, obviously. That if you're approving a firearm permit, that somebody could access a firearm, and then, you know, maybe something else could happen while they're intoxicated, or, you know, obviously there's some other history there. So I think it.
Well, you didn't bring up the other history, and that's kind of what I was. Since this incident, has there been any other incident, anything involving the?
Really wasn't anything after August. There was one other call at the house in February of 2019. I don't know if you recall it. His mother was concerned about him as well. It was very similar. This, except he wasn't committed at that time.
No complaints of violence or misconduct or anything like that.
Nothing. That's
what I was getting at. Because oftentimes alcohol is involved. We have cases where there's domestics, there's breach of pieces, there's driving while drinking, all those type of things. And then the one incident that brings us here.
2008 as well. So I didn't. But again, it's so long ago, you know.
And he was drinking. 2008 was DUI.
And it was during time. You know, as he's mentioned now, he's not drinking since 2019. So I like to hear that.
Okay, so I should have been over here. How are you medically?
A little overweight.
Yeah. Well, but compared to the way you were described in our stuff from that time, you've come a long way.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. The officer mentioned jaundice or yellow eyes. They don't look yellow now. I mean, was that a liver issue that's resolved, or are you still dealing with that?
The last time I went to the doctors, I had blood work done, and he told me my liver was functioning normal.
Yeah.
Like a normal person.
And I think in the medical reports, it was not at the time, right? Didn't you have problems with the...
Yeah, they actually told me at that point, they said I was at the point of no return, and we're like, my liver's going to go if I don't stop.
All right, I really don't have a whole lot of questions. I think we got the idea, but just so you know, the way I'm looking at it is, on the good side, there's no allegation of misconduct or anything leading up to this other than the alcoholism, which seems to be longstanding. 2014 was mentioned, my guess is it goes prior to that. It does, because he had DUI in 2008. Quit, that was great, but then almost relapsed a year ago. So that's what I'm struggling with. And I know it's not my time to summarize it, but that's what I'm thinking. But you seem to be doing really well. So I don't have any more questions.
Doctor?
Do you participate in any Alcoholics Anonymous groups in addition to your therapy with the Drug and Alcohol Council?
I did in the past. I'm not currently now, no. That's why I switched, did the counselor twice a week now, just to vent more. I'm kind of like right at my age now, I'm kind of like a loner. I got my dogs. I'm happy with my dogs. I do stuff around the house. I keep myself busy, and I like my friends pretty much are married, have kids and stuff. I'm not ready for that yet, so I kind of just keep to myself. But yeah, so like I really don't have, you know, a lot of issues, but.
Well, perhaps you could do some things with your buddies, as you suggested, that would give you some social outlet as well.
Yeah. They don't get out often as much, but, you know, that would be something I could be doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm a billiards freak, too, so I play pool. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I guess to the chief's point, something that stood out in your testimony when you dumped the bottle, I think the pint out last year, you looked down at your dogs and you didn't want to do that to them, which, God forbid something happens to any of our pets. I know what I think what I'd like to hear is that you want to do this for yourself.
I
didn't hear that.
I was telling Mr. Sherman that, like, when I was pouring it out, I felt so guilty. I was just like, I don't want to go back to this place. I don't want to go back to this place. And I looked over, and my dogs were just up there, you know, watching me, and I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it was more for me, but it was for them, too. And like I said, for my niece and my family. And my family is much happier now because they don't have to worry about, my mom used to always say, I don't have to worry about, you know, calling you in the morning and your phone doesn't, you know, you don't answer your phone.
Yeah. Good luck on that vacation. Other questions? Other witnesses?
No, thank you.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes, please. As the chief noted, there's no allegation of any or history of violence or suicide or anything like attempted suicide. It's not that kind of a problem. We have a case here of somebody who knew he had a problem and he's dealt with it. And he's still dealing with it. He's going to be dealing with it the rest of his life, probably. But he's dealing with it in a very appropriate way. I would say this is one of the best letters I've seen in some time from a therapist in support of somebody getting a permit. The therapist obviously knew what he was writing about here. It's very plain and straightforward. I think that the incident, I can understand concern. I was concerned too at first when I heard about the incident last February, but I think it shows that he's on the right path because he stopped, because he knew it wasn't right. He felt wrong. He said he didn't want to go there again. And, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure the board's familiar with this by now, none of you are new, a lot of people, it does motivate them to stay sober, that others are depending on them. And they could even be four-legged others. As well as his little niece, because he said seeing him, looking up and seeing him wasted. So I don't think he's going to have a problem any further. Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Sherman. Would you like to make a closing statement, Deputy Chief?
I think I'm all set. Thank you.
Okay. Comments by the board?
I just want to add to what I already said. I do agree with Attorney Sherman. And the letters from the therapist are, I think, probably the only ones that I've ever seen that mention a gun. Mm-hmm. They always say they're progressing nicely, compliant with medications, but no one ever says, I think it's a good idea that that person has a gun, and these did. And it seems to be an ongoing therapist, although no AA meetings, you see the therapist once or twice a week. So those are all good things. I am, however, and don't come to me first, because I am struggling with the recency of it and the potential to make very bad decisions. And the relapse, or I guess you can call it, you know, a release. You did start drinking again within the last year. So that's truly what I'm struggling with. It's not a single incident. I don't look at it as a single. I look at his long history of alcoholism, stopped, but it's recent, you know, where he started up against. So that's my concern.
Other comments by the board? Okay, per instructions of the chief, Dr. Conrad.
I'm going to vote for the appellant. I was really impressed with a couple of things, three things. Back in August of 2019, you had significant, you had low-grade anemia, you had significant lower extremity edema, you had jaundice. So your liver was really starting to go back then. So Your family's intervention was very helpful to get you on the right track. The other thing I'm impressed with is, again, the letter from your counselor who specifically referenced the firearm permit issue. And the third is your own personal proactive decision to increase the frequency of your therapy when you recognize that you might be under some additional environmental stress. So putting that all together, I'm going to vote in favor of your receiving your permit.
Attorney Sinetti.
What she said, appellant.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Should make it easier. Chief.
I would have said the same thing, but I was curious. No, certainly the appellant, but be careful. If you do start going back, give up your gun permit. Okay? It's not worth it. And frankly, if you had any incidents involving violence or anything like that, it would have been a different decision. No, that's what we get from you. Part of this is judging what you're
doing. On the opposite, actually, there was an incident a couple weeks ago on a Friday in my neighborhood in East Hartford, and I actually helped out the police because I have a Ring camera, and I caught the perpetrator running.
I was about to tell you, don't say any more, because who knows? I'm going to ruin it, but that's good.
Thank you.
You're swinging after the bell.
Acting Chair votes appellant. Thank you, gentlemen.
Good luck.
Thank you.